Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Welcome. Welcome to Don't Give Up Radio. Glad to have another week with you. Glad to be able to encourage you and encourage myself in the truth that God is with us through every challenge and difficulty, and He is the one who is rooting for our success even more so than we are at times. Many times we're willing to give up, we're willing to throw in the towel and say, we can't go on, not another step. But this show is designed to let you know, to let you hear the stories of others and the inspiration from others who had that moment also, but because they didn't give up on God, they can tell you today that God did not give up on them, and they are here to share that wonderful experience with you. And tonight we have such a guest who definitely had that moment in time when he thought he could just throw in the towel, just completely give up on everything. He's a native of New Orleans, producer, songwriter, artist, author, talk show host, and most motivational speaker. However, it wasn't always that way. As we know, our stories never begin at the end. It always begins at the beginning. And so we have Damon Darrell Naylor with us today, and he's going to share with us basically his journey and where he is today. So welcome. Glad to have you with us, Damon.
Hi, Jackie, and everyone who is listening. I'm glad to be a part, and we thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, well, I'm glad to have you on. You have a wonderful book, e-book entitled A Greater Taste of Success, and some of us are just trying to get to that taste of success. You know, the show's called Don't Give Up, but I've added the focus Don't Give Up and Win, because we don't want to just keep toiling and toiling. We want to get to that place where we actually reap those spoils, where we can actually taste that success. So I'm looking forward to talking to you a bit more about your book, but I want to start with you, and I want to get a little bit about your history. I know you love music. You produce, you create. Where did your love of music begin?
Well, my love of music first began as an adolescent. Really, I started off, I played in a band in elementary school, and that's where I first was introduced to music and kind of discovered my desire for it. And then when I moved on to junior high and high school, I stayed in the band and played for a few years there. And once I got to college and everything, I left off from music for a while.
When you were playing band through elementary, middle, high school, and I played in middle and high school myself. I played alto saxophone. What was your instrument?
That's what I played.
Really? Look at that. I had this love of music. And you're really just pursuing it. I played in concert band in middle school, but then I switched to jazz band when I was in high school. And always dream about going back to it, but my embouchure is probably shot right about now.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, that's the lip muscles that you need in order to play the saxophone well. So here you are. You're enjoying your musical life. Explain what type of teen you were. What kind of person would I have run into?
Wow. Well, that's crazy, because the teenage Damon is diametrically opposed to the current Damon. I was just kind of wild and obnoxious and going and chasing girls and just crazy, you know, compared to who I am today. I think I'm probably more outgoing and more definitely positive today, but I was kind of outgoing then, but shy in the same respect. But yes, I was a pretty unique teenager, just very experimental, trying to get into this, trying to get into that. But I'm totally different today. Thank God for, you know, just helping me to have control, have focus, and have discipline. But yeah, I was just kind of crazy, just doing all kinds. Just, I would say a typical teenager, getting into all kinds of stuff and just experimenting, trying to find this and that, and really trying to find myself, basically. But yes, that's who you would have run into then.
Yeah. That's normal for teenagers, right? And so you were saying to me that, you know, you loved music and you played into college. Now, did you continue to play college, or is that when you took a step away? And explain to me a little bit about who you were when you got on the college campus.
Yes, well, I stopped with the music. Once I entered college, I really didn't do, I guess, formal music then. And really, when I once I entered college, I guess I had done so much as a teenager, as I was saying, as far as experimenting. I experimented with drugs and experimented with alcohol. And I guess I just had immersed myself in so much. About the time I got to college, I was really aiming and trying to focus on settling down, getting focused so I could obtain my degree. I didn't want to be a career college student. And as a result, when I came to college, I was really trying to get on the straight and narrow then. And I thank God for seeing my sincerity in my heart and that I was trying to do things right. Of course, I didn't have the power and the knowledge to do it. But the things that I did know to do, I was trying to get on that right path and get focused and buckle down so that I could obtain my degree. But once I got to college, like I said, I was kind of focusing and everything. But once I got exposed to some things, I kind of started going back into a regressing into the direction that I was in my latter teen years when I really started to experiment with things. And I kind of started going on that path, not to the point where I was neglecting my studies or anything, but I was kind of doing both. I was into, you know, my books and everything, but at the same time, I was getting into those things that I kind of had wanted to stop once I got to college. And I kind of stopped right there.
You know, as you mentioned it, as we all do, you know, we try to do things in our own strength and our own power.
Yes.
And whenever
yes.
you try to do that, it's either you're going to stop doing one thing and start doing another, or you're going to suppress it so long that it eventually breaks back out. And so none of those are really solutions. And I know you really had your encounter with God and the Lord in college. So tell us how that came to be.
Yes, and that's what happened. I'm glad you made that statement because that is a powerful principle. In order to shift into from one thing to another, you know, the appetite has to decrease in one area in order for it to increase in the other. And that's exactly what happened. After, like you said, I had suppressed it for just a limited season once I got into college. But then once it emerged again, it overtook me. And it got so bad, I had done so many bad things that like going into my sophomore year, that summer after my freshman year, I was just in a dump. I had basically hit bottom with what I had, the things I had done. And so by that time, once I came to college, let me rewind a little bit. It was this guy, say, at the end of my freshman year who had started to pursue me and trying to get me involved with Bible studies. Well, because I was into such a sinful lifestyle at that time, I was running from him. So he was pursuing me, and I was running. He was literally chasing me, and I thank God for his diligence. And so that whole, like I said, once I evaded him that semester, that summer I went through all kinds of things. By the time that next fall semester, my sophomore semester came, literally I was looking for him. And God sent a witness, a young lady who had experienced some of the things that I struggled with, and she began to testify of God's goodness and deliverance. And I promise you, that day when that young lady testified, it was anointed, and God literally broke some chains that day. And from then on, I told her, I said, look, you tell that young man I'm ready for that Bible study. No more running, no more lies. It's time to do this. And he came and taught me that Bible study, and basically the rest is history. But that's basically how it occurred, the process.
I like hearing that. I like the fact that you shared that. I, too, came to know the Lord in college. I want to stress that because oftentimes, you know, we're told that can't happen, and you really don't know how the Lord's going to move in a life. And so the moment I got on campus, there was a young lady, and I swear I saw a halo around her head. I've told this story before. And I went up to her and asked her if she was a Christian, and she said yes, and that she offered Bible studies. And I went, you know, freshman year, sophomore year, but I was really still very focused on being into the entertainment industry. And even though I wasn't ever going to be an artist who was lascivious in any way, I just felt like I needed to hold for some reason. And it wasn't until the right before I was entering my junior year that summer, on campus that summer, that I gave my life to the Lord. In fact, it will be 30 years in just about 2 weeks that I've been walking with the Lord since
Praise
that.
God.
Since that. Yeah. So God can do wonderful things. And for those of you who are listening and want to know how you could start down that road, I share Romans 10, 9 and 10 often, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, because our Lord lives, he's alive, you shall be saved. And that's where this relationship starts. But what we'll see through Damon's story is that's really just the beginning. And we're not here to say to you that once you start this relationship that your life will be ice cream and candies and cupcakes. Because you still live in a world with real problems and real issues. So before we go on our break, I want to ask you, when did you now turn back to music and get serious about it?
Well, once I ended up, like I said, getting saved and everything, probably a year or so after, well, actually a few years after, because I tried to get back involved with it prematurely. And because it wasn't time, things really didn't flow right. I remember trying to write on, like you said, on my own strength. I had that passion there, and I knew something was there, but the only problem was the timing. And I would say a few years later, probably it was like in 1998, I was saved at the end of 94. And I think I tried like about 96 or 97 to try to write, but it wasn't until the end of 98 where the Holy Spirit began to inspire me, and I began to write. And from then on, I got back into the music as far as, you know, at first I was just writing, but then I had to turn to the production aspect, which God had already prepared me for that through playing in the band all of those years. And that's how it did. That's how it occurred. That's how I got back into it from that experience.
Okay. Well, back, we're going to get more into detail, and we're going to find out exactly how you were able to rebound from your don't give up moment.
Bounce back, bounce back, bounce back, rebound. Bounce back, bounce back, bounce back, rebound. Bounce back, bounce back, bounce back, rebound. Bounce back. Bounce back, bounce back, rebound.
Bounce back, don't give up. Bounce back, when things get tough. Bounce back, when you've had enough. Bounce back, come on, strut your stuff. Bounce back, don't give up. Bounce back, when things get tough. Bounce back, when you've had enough. Bounce back, get up, get up. It's time to rebound, get up off the ground. Because for too long, homie, you've been down. And God's got something better for you. So get yourself up, claim your breakthrough. Hearing what people say to you, telling you what you can or you can't do, it's killing your faith, about to break you. Dust your shoulder off and continue. The venue is arranged, the stage is set. Go out and show the world you are the best. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Handle your business at the sound of the gun. Come on,
bounce back.
Don't give up.
Bounce back
when things get tough.
Bounce back
when you've had enough.
Bounce back.
Come on, strut your stuff.
Bounce back.
Don't give up. When you've had enough,
bounce back.
Get up, get up. It's time to rebound, get up off the ground. Because for too long, honey, you've been down. And God's got something better for you. So get yourself up, claim your breakthrough. Stop hearing what people say to you, telling you what you can or you can't do. It's killing your faith, about to break you. Dust your shoulder off and continue. The venue is arranged, the stage is set. Go out and show the world you are the best. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Handle your business at the sound of the gun. Come on.
Bounce back.
Don't give up.
Bounce back.
When things get tough.
Bounce back.
When you've had enough.
Bounce back.
Come on, strut your stuff.
Bounce back.
Don't give up.
Bounce back.
When things get tough.
Bounce back.
When you've had enough.
Bounce back.
Get up, get up. Those who spectate also flare hate. Without a thing to do, they're in an idle state. So they negate, berate, and tear you down. Nitpick, criticize, a straight up clown. They're bound, blind, cannot see. They don't understand your dream or destiny. So watch who you tell about what you see. They might be jealous like Joseph's family. Full of envy, malice, and hate. They might try to put you in a pit or a lake. So guard your faith, watch yourself. Press on to glory, success, and welcome on.
Bounce back,
don't give up.
Bounce back
when things get tough.
Bounce back
when you've had enough.
Bounce back,
come on, strut your stuff.
Bounce back,
don't give up.
Bounce back
when things get tough.
Bounce back
when you've had enough.
Bounce back,
get up, get up.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans.
Inspiration through word and song for you.
And we're back. Damon, who is also known as the real, right? And he, I want to make it clear that all of the tracks that we will be playing tonight is featured from his musical project called Triple Threat. And so we were just chatting with Damon before the song was played, and that song was called Bounce Back, as you can tell. And, you know, the show is about not giving up and bouncing back. So, Damon, I want to get into the period of your life, and I've had a number of guests on the show who've been in the music industry and shared about the time of their life where they loved the industry, but the industry did not love them back. And so if you could just kind of explain and share about the years that you were serious about the music industry, but it just didn't seem to be serious about you.
Well, what had taken place, it was in 2004, where I had just released my third project. And what happened, things were going pretty well. And then, say, once 2005 hit, things kind of slowed down, because in music, when you release a project, or actually with anything, when you first release it, there's a strong buzz, a lot of doors are opening, things are happening, the momentum is gaining, and things are just really going in your favor. And by the time, I say about a year or so later, things had begun to simmer down, die down, and it just seems like things weren't going anywhere. And it was at that moment, and I guess I had also had some constructive criticism, so to speak, people saying some things that kind of got into my spirit and really depressed and discouraged me. And I was at the point of where I wanted to just stop music. I was like, man, look, I've done enough. I put out a few projects. It was good while it lasted. I just leave this alone, because at the time I had just stepped out also to pursue the motivational speaking and the authorship. And I said, well, what I'll do is now focus on those things and just put the music on the back burner. Leave it alone. I've done enough, and this doesn't seem like it's going anywhere.
Hold on that for a second, because I want to just sit on this, because I know there's so many people who are listening who are trying to get into the industry, and they're getting discouragement maybe from their own family, especially if they're Christians, right? From the church, right? And from the industry. And so it's hard to keep pushing past all that. So I want to really fine-tune this so that they can hear what you've experienced and what you went through. Talk to me about when you say you gave it your best try. You know, at that time, what did Damon's best try, your best successful attempt at being in this industry look like? What did you do? What was your energy and your efforts? How was that being manifested or seen?
Okay. Well, what I had done was basically, like you said earlier, mentioned I produced the CDs, and that was my third one that I had produced, and I was marketing it, promoting it. I had got to open doors. I had gone to Atlanta to perform, gone different places to perform, and people were buying. We were selling, you know, having great sales and having great experience with it, you know. And I think from my vantage point, one advantage that I have is that I basically took my career into my own hands. Now, the route a lot of people try to go is to go through, like, record labels and different people like that. But what I decided to do, which was really what helped me, and I think was a blessing more than anything, was that I decided to do my own label and to, you know, produce and promote, market, and take my career into my own hands. Because when you go the other route, you kind of set yourself up for more rejection than anything. And prayerfully, you know, some people are lucky and get that big break. But if you take it into your own hands, then you can experience that success quicker, and you can kind of navigate your route to success and determine your own fate, as opposed to put it in the hands of others. So I had successfully, you know, produced those CDs, had successfully been performing, successfully selling, making TV appearances, just you name it. All of those things were clicking and going well for me. And then, as I stated, we kind of had the lapse where things began to really slow down and basically come to a halt. And that's when it's like, okay, what should I do? You know, should I just leave this alone, or should I continue pursuing it? then it also comes to your mind, okay, well, maybe I do need to get with a label, you know. And so all of these thoughts begin to come into your mind when you come to a standstill and you kind of get into a rut. And that's basically what has taken place.
Yeah, I needed you to really expand and share that, because those are the thoughts that goes through the mind, and I want someone who's sitting there to understand that just because they're thinking that doesn't mean they're supposed to give up now, right? And so now you're sitting on the couch, you were thinking these thoughts, and thankfully you now have a relationship with the Lord, and so the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and what did you hear?
The Holy Spirit said, bounce back. Don't give up. Bounce back when things get tough. Bounce back when you've had enough. Bounce back, go on and stretch your stuff. And as it's playing in my spirit, I'm like, wow. And I grabbed the pen and I coined that phrase. I put it down. And then after that, as I continued to pray and meditate on it, God began to give the rest of the song. But I kid you not, as I sat on that sofa, that's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit just began to utter that chorus, that hook in my spirit. And I wrote it down. And from there, we get that song, Bounce Back, which is one of the most favorite songs. I've been performing it for a long time, and people love that song. It connects and resonates with basically everybody, because regardless of who we are, regardless of success or failure, everyone comes to a place to where you get knocked down, and you come to a place to where you need a pick-me-up. You need to be inspired and encouraged regardless of whatever state or place a person is in. God always allows you to get to that place to where you need to be picked up, you know, by the Holy Spirit, or God will send other people through the Holy Spirit to help you. But we all will come to that place. If we hadn't come yet, don't worry. It will happen, where we need to be reminded that we shouldn't give up and that we can't give up. God has entrusted too much to many of us for us to give up on what God has put inside of us. He felt as though that we were responsible enough to handle it. Then, you know, we have to take it upon ourselves to trust God, to believe God, and to continue even despite things not looking like or seeming like they're going the way you think they should.
Well, let's talk to the listener for a moment here. Here they are. They're in that moment where they think that they should give up. They might even be at the place where they hear God saying, no, you can go the distance. I believe in you. But there's that place in yourself that you have to get to, even when you hear that voice, that's willing to say yes. That's willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to trust you to go the next length of the way. Can you speak to that listener right now and tell them why they should say yes?
Here's why you should say yes, and here's a tip to help you to say yes. Eliminate the fear of rejection and the fear of failure from your mind and from your spirit. Okay, you say, well, man, that sounds good, but how do I do that? In other words, you say to yourself that there's really no such thing as failure. That's the mind frame I had to pick up. In other words, regardless of what you do, the fact that you set the goal and you accomplish it, that's success in itself. What hinders and cripples most people is that they don't look at the successes or the goals being accomplished along the way. They only look at the success once. Okay, once I've completed the project, the sales. That's what they look at. They say, well, okay, if I don't sell many, then it wasn't a success. But they negate and they overlook the fact that of all it took as far as creating the song, possibly getting the beats, the recording sessions, all of that, to complete the project. They don't look at those things as successes. And so when you look at it, success is the culmination of elements and aspects. It's not just one thing. And what you have to do is say, well, look, even if I don't sell as many copies as I think I should, or maybe you might not even get all the tracks on the CD that you want, just always celebrate just minor things. And when you do that, it takes away that fear of failure and rejection. And don't always know that somebody's going to like your music. And I was just meditating on this earlier, how I don't care how good or how bad different products and services are, there are always clients out there for whatever you do. I've seen some wicked things. I've seen some holy and righteous things. And what I've found is that regardless of the swing of the pendulum or regardless of the side of the spectrum, there are people out there with an appetite for whatever it is you have to offer. And if you can condition yourself to understand that concept and then condition yourself to look for creative marketing strategies and ways to promote what you have and to find those people who like what you have to offer, then you always succeed in some capacity, you know. And so that's the mind frame we have to get. And the other thing we have to also realize is that, look, this is my passion. You know, of course I want to do it professionally. I want to transition into it being a profession, providing income. But even if you can't get it to that place to where you're making just so much money, let it be that, okay, I'm fulfilling my passion. I always try to encourage people to pursue their passion in some capacity because that's why God has created you. You have gifts and talents, and you might not get the rewards from or through those gifts and talents. You may have to come up with another stream of income, but never neglect what you're talented and passionate about doing because that will really give you zest and energy and inspiration automatically by itself.
Wonderful. When we come back, we're going to find out exactly more about creating those multiple streams of income and how you can have a greater taste of success. Functioning on many levels as a songwriter and producer and a motivational speaker and author and so many gifts and talents that you are given and that you're utilizing. And so you said something really profound before the break, and that is that there are people out there who will like what you do and like what you have to offer. And I think many times, you know, we tend to start ourselves short, listen to those other voices that says, nah, nobody is interested in this, nobody wants this. And thankfully, we're living in an age where the independent industry is really moving forward. Now, I know it took about a year for you to actually bounce back, but talk to us about what that bounce back looked like when it happened. I love the fact that you said that, you know, your time in the studio, your time in planning, your time in the production, all that is success, because a lot of people have the ideas, but they never actually pursue it. So you're already functioning on another level if you're doing that stuff. But what did the bounce back, when did you know you did? You bounced back and you were on the course again.
Well, first of all, I guess a minor one would be to complete that song. But then thereafter, I think within the next few days, I kind of got the Holy Spirit from that moment began to inspire me just heavily. And I believe I had planned out my next CD after that incident, because, like I said, the spirit of inspiration was just so heavily on me. In addition, during that time is when I wrote the first book, or the first e-book now, A Great Taste of Success. And, you know, I got that published within that year. And so, you know, these were some things that occurred to let me know that, okay, I've bounced back. I've come out of that slump because I'm going to pursue my music. I have too many songs God has given me during that period, too many tracks he caused me to produce. And I knew that God is not going to give me all of this if he wants me to stop. He's not going to release all of this if he wants me to stop. And once those things began to occur, I knew, okay, well, that was just a slump, just a situation, but we're over it now. And the strangest thing about it, to show you how God would still challenge your faith, it still took me years to finish my next project. You know, from 04 to 2010, literally, it took those years for me to put out my next project. When I say everything that could happen in a wrong manner did between those years, although I had bounced back, the Lord was still allowing the enemy to challenge me and resist me, still work on my faith to make sure that I will bounce back. Because, you know, faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, the evidence of the thing not seen. And so it took some faith for me to still hold on all those years. You know, of course, you know, the devil's talking to me now, oh, you can't even complete the project. You should have stopped. You should have thrown in the towel. And I tell you, like I said, when I went through everything imaginable, I mean, I was hospitalized in between that time, had some financial issues, all kinds of stuff occurred in between that issue on the time when I wanted to stop and the time when I finally recorded my next CD. But, you know, the key was that once that inspiration hit and I got my faith rejuvenated, then it was basically a done deal from then. Although it took a while for me to finish the completed project, I was able to make some strides here and there, record a few tracks here and there, but I knew, you know, my faith had gotten to the place where I was stabilized, and I knew regardless of how long it took that God wasn't finished with my music career and that I was going to be able to produce a very good CD, and that's what ended up happening.
Very good. I've had many artists on the show, some Grammy nominees like Mike Clemens and Tracy Randall, and they've all talked about, because they're singers, they're musicians, they're producers, they've all talked about the importance of multiple streams of income. And so I want to get into this because you've talked about this, the fact that you were motivational speaker, author. So what's your take on it, and how would you advise someone who wants to be in the industry but, you know, also wants to thrive financially as well? How should they look at it? How should they actually implement their business?
Realistically speaking, just looking at the music industry, automatically anyone who's deciding or looking at going into it, understand that the profits are dwindling, or they're much lower today than they were years ago. And, you know, the internet has been a blessing and an asset in many aspects, but in some aspects it's been a liability because it's opened up the music scene so widely now that it's oversaturated with music. So it's kind of hard to get noticed. Now, I'm not saying this to discourage anyone, but I'm just giving you the realistic standpoint. With that in mind, you're going to have to possibly start something else to bring in a nice financial income for you, at least enough for you to make it, to survive, pay your bills, and to invest in your music career. Now, be it whatever it is, you know, with me, thank God, I was able to start another business, which was a janitorial business. That has basically been my mainstay to invest in, pay my bills and do whatever. And so the music, the speaking, and the writing, those are basically forms of my supplemental income, but my janitorial business is basically my main. And for some people, you might not be able to just start a business, but, you know, if you have a decent enough job that you're making enough, you know, to pay the bills and to save and to invest, then that would be the route to take before stepping off into it. You know, you want to make sure that you have enough money or get to that. You know, the thing is getting to that place where you can do the music full-time or whatever type of business full-time. But if not, you know, you may have to operate several different business endeavors to make that whole and to make enough to be able to sustain you and your family and take care of your needs. But if you're looking, like I say, anyone who's really looking at the music industry these days, you're going to have some other type of hustle, because it's not the way that it used to be. And with me, like I said, the speaking, the writing, and all that stuff, I'm looking forward to where I can transition out of the janitorial into all of those things, because not only am I passionate about it, I have a lot to offer. God has equipped me with a lot of wisdom and revelation and just insight that can really help people. But as I stated before, it's all about timing. It's all about God opening the door and just creating the opportunity for me to do it on a full-time basis, whereas I can just do those things as opposed to the janitorial. But the key is finding you something that's substantial enough to be able to provide for you, meet your needs, while in addition trying to pursue, you know, music or whatever it may be, where it can provide some, you know, supplemental income, if not your full income.
Well, then let's tap into your book a little bit. I love the title, A Greater Taste of Success. And you didn't say a taste of success. You didn't say a great taste of success. You said a greater taste of success. So what's the focus? What is the book about?
Now, this book, A Greater Taste of Success, is similar to my first book, which, like I said, both are now e-books. Is I give 50 proverbs. That's the format that the Lord inspired me with. And with those 50 proverbs, I give wisdom and insight concerning perspectives, destiny, leadership skills, Christian principles, and a couple of other categories. And in this book, we do 7 of each. And on the last proverb is the Jubilee proverb. But the first book was the Great Taste of Success, and it was 50 proverbs. They were kind of scattered, and it gave insight concerning a lot of those areas too. But in the Greater Taste, I just formalized it where I had those 7 categories, whereas I give the information concerning those topics. But from it, you will really get some knowledge and some wisdom and some practical skills and applications that you can use in your day-to-day life. And our whole point is to help people to taste success, to experience success. And ultimately, my perspective of success is a universal one, which is simply this: the ability to set goals and achieve them, and in the end, living in New Jerusalem, making it to heaven. Because if we don't make that, like Jesus said, what profits a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? So regardless of how much success we taste here in this earth realm, the ultimate success will be to be with Jesus in eternity in that blessed place that we're all striving and looking forward to. And it's from those perspectives that I give that insight from all of my experiences as a producer. I'm also a former educator, as a parent, as a husband, business owner, just all of those experiences, I'm able to share some knowledge and insight and wisdom and point people in the right direction so they can experience some success.
So can you tell us what the categories are in the book and just highlight maybe a couple of topics for us?
Yes. Okay. For instance, destiny is one of the categories. And one of my favorite proverbs from it is that I say our lives are fixed and we are currently going through a formality. And when you look at it, you know, the word predestined means to determine a purpose and outcome in advance. So God created us in the spirit realm. He placed us into the physical realm with all the necessary ingredients and resources for us to become what he purposed us to be. So all we have to do is follow his blueprint, which is the word, and it will enable us to fit the divine silhouette he has outlined for us. And whenever we have trouble with the written word of God, then we have the Holy Spirit to give us specific instructions and directions. But the key is God has already predestined our lives. We are predestined to succeed. And he literally created the – he tells us at the beginning what we're going to be in the end, but then he's fixed everything in the middle so that all it is a formality we're going through now, this part, to getting to the end. Because he's fixed it to where we won't be overtaken. He won't put any more on us than we can bear. So if we can get that revelation, it'll really help us. And then we have the one with perspective. And one of my favorite is determine your own work and never let others do it for you. And the reason why I say determine your own work is because when you allow other people to determine your work, they will always shortchange you. They will never, ever, in most cases, give you the worth and the value that God knows your worth and that you know your worth. And another example under the category of destiny that I like is man prefers the shortcut, but God prefers the scenic route. And so arriving at destiny will definitely be a scenic route and not a shortcut. You will have to walk down the road less traveled, go through the valley of rejection, and make pit stops at the following places: betrayal, ridicule, disappointment, delay, discouragement, and grief. And if you decide to continue after having experienced these places, you will eventually arrive at your destination or destiny. And, you know, like I said, those are some of the categories, but we also have Christian principles, we have work ethic, we have leadership skills, and let's see what else we have. Rules for greatness and relationships. And in each of those categories, we have 7 proverbs with more information to kind of further expound on those proverbs. So you can get some real insight, and it'll help you with your day-to-day life and just finding time to achieve and become what God has called you to become and to be.
All right, then. This has been great. Our time is going really quickly, so I want to make sure we get a few last major points in. Now, when you do your motivational speaking, what are the topics that you usually speak on? Is it along the lines of these categories and topics from A Greater Taste?
Yes. We deal with success tips, academic achievement, of course, spiritual growth and personal enhancement and personal development. And, you know, like I said, we also do sermons if we have to minister at religious institutions. And also I do workshop sessions. I have one workshop entitled the G3 Workshop, which stands for Gift, Glamour, and Goal. And it helps people to find their dominant gift. And so we have that. And then we also have a newly released workshop for my book that I just wrote about Revelation. We didn't deal with that, but it's called R3, where I do workshops to teach the content in that book. But, yes, that's my platform, dealing with the spiritual growth and development, personal development, the success stories, success strategies, team building, academic achievement. Those are basically my categories that we deal with.
Okay, so why don't you let the people know where they can connect with you and follow up?
Okay, the most comprehensive place is very simple, thereal.org, and there you will find all of my products and all of my information, my biographical information. You have some of my tracks. You have my books there, the 2 e-books, The Great Taste of Success and The Greater Taste of Success, and even Revelation Rightly Revealed, the book about Revelation. And then I also have on there about the different workshops and just all of my information is there, my experiences as well. They're all there at www.thereal.org. I'm also on Twitter, and it's at @thereal1. That's the real one. And on Facebook, I'm at thereal music, D-A-R-I-L music.
Great, great. You're all over the place, so they're going to be able to find you. Any final thoughts about faith and, you know, sticking with the work that the Lord has given us to do that you'd want to share with our listeners?
It's really simple. The work that God has begun in you, He wants to complete it, and He will complete it if we work with Him. What we have to understand in our relationship with the Lord and looking at it from the faith or perspective of trying to fulfill God's purpose and fulfill our destinies, it's a joint venture. It's a business arrangement. It's a covenant. And God has things that He's going to do, but in addition, we have things that we must do. Know this, God is faithful, and anything He promises you and tells you He's going to do, you can mark it off. It's a done deal. The problem is just oftentimes us believing it and then us putting forth the action, because we have to walk by faith. That means walking without the actual substance and evidence being there, but acting as though it's there. We have to pursue potential as though it's actual. We have to pursue the invisible as though it's visible. And that's faith at its base form when you look at it. That's what faith is really saying, going after potential as if it's reality and going after invisible as if it's visible. And when we walk the walk of faith, we trust in God, then most assuredly everything He said and promised us will come to pass. Don't let time stop you. Don't be concerned about, oh, I'm getting old. Don't be concerned about any opportunities you feel you've missed. Just be faithful, obedient to God, trust Him. Don't lean to your own understanding. And as you acknowledge Him, He's going to direct you right into your destiny and right into being what He's called you to be.
Absolutely the truth. I said even in last week's show, John 10:10, you know, Jesus was very clear that He came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly now and in the eternity to come. And a lot of us focus on the eternity to come, which is great. We want to get to heaven. We want to enjoy that. It's going to be a beautiful, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what great things are in store for us there. But the Lord paid the price He did so that we could also start to have that abundant life here, in this life. He gave us the gifts and the talents to use here in this life, and the rewards and the spoils that go along with that here and in eternity. So we are doubly blessed, because some people will only receive their blessings here, but we get to have here and the ever after. So thank you so much for being my guest today and for sharing with us.
Amen. Well, thank you for having us. And like you said, I love what you just stated. I call it the win-win situation. We win now and we win later. But it's been a blessing. I just want to encourage you to keep on. You have a great platform. I admire your sincerity and your passion about what you're doing for God. And it's truly a blessing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. To our listeners, I want you to go ahead and continue to be your very own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you are worth it when He gave His life for you on the cross. Until next time, enjoy the life that you've been given and enjoy thinking about heaven, because you're going to be there.
For you and me, paradise and eternity. I see multitudes of many races. Everyone's happy, smiles on their faces. No need for the sun, Jesus is the light. Every day is golden and so bright. It's tight. I'm glad that I chose the Lord, cause when compared to this, it really wasn't hard. It was a sacrifice to try to do the right, but this eternity was a great price. There's no memory of our early past. We travel to and fro very fast. There's no trace of sickness or even death. You live forever, never take a last breath. A place where we all want to be. A place that we all want to see. A place for you and me. Paradise and eternity. A beautiful clear river flows down the street. Everyone's in white, it's so neat. We have a new name, it's a new game. The best part about it, this will never change. Everything's revealed, nothing is hidden. Everything is righteous, nothing is forbidden. Evil and sin simply have to cease. This here kingdom is full of peace. No police are necessary or needed. We never argue, fight, or get heated. I'm glad that I made it to this place. I ran and finished that old Christian race. A place where we all want to be. A place that we all want to see. A place for you and me. Paradise and eternity. A place where we all want to be. A place that we all want to see. A place for you and me. Paradise and eternity.
Show with Jackie Wayans.